Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm Rose Travis.
And I'm Chris.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
And welcome back, and I hope you've enjoyed our past other episodes we've done recently on the Walking Dead Season 7 recaps.
Mm.
We're going to continue that with this episode. We are doing episodes 4 and 5.
Yes.
Yes. Episode 4 was a big 90-minute episode. Well, 60-minute, 30-minute
commercials. That was the 90-minute commercial episode.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the one that just aired this week. So we'll get into all that here in just a minute. But, of course, before we do that, you know, we like to, this is pop culture. It's not all about just Walking Dead, my friends. No, it's...
We just lost some viewers.
Nah, I know. They'll come back around. They'll come back around. But we'll get to all that here in a minute. Right now, let's talk some news, if you will. Do you want to do the...
I don't think these listeners will get the reference of
it. They'll get them accustomed to it. Anyway, it's a thing. Houston Wrestling Radio, HWR right. Show. Yeah,
that's there you go.
All right. Okay, first thing up, Cars 3.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I am sharpening my razor blades for this one.
Pixar, they know no bounds, and they're continuing the trend crazy. Like, this is the Cars 3 trailer.
I completely forgot about this because this was slated like 2 or 3 years ago that Cars was coming out 2017. Guess what year next year is going to be?
2017?
Yeah. Wow. It's coming.
Yeah. So, okay. let's backtrack here. Cars 1. Cars.
Cars.
You know, Lightning McQueen. Yeah, you're a car guy. So, it was good. I really enjoyed the first Cars movie. And then the second one came out. That's about right. That's all we need to say
when
about Cars 2.
When the lead of your animated movie is Larry the Cable Guy,
there's issues.
Yeah.
So now cut to this trailer for Cars 3. Now it starts off, you know, all these cars going around the racetrack. You know, looking really good. I mean, this
You got to think, this is what 8 years since the first Cars movie. That animation is Pixar's animation is like.
Not only that has it gotten better, but it looked like a different style. Like Cars is cartoony CG, you know, animation. But this looked straight up like gritty, realistic animation, not like the cartoony animation. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So we see the racetrack, cars going around everywhere, and then we see the car, Lightning McQueen.
We hear cars.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you hear a hybrid going. Distinct sound of a hybrid diesel, as opposed to just your regular combustion engine gasoline. I'm losing my feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Even I was like, sure. Yeah, that's it. All right. And then he like goes out of control, hits the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And then the next scene is Lightning McQueen rolling slow motion, and you can hear him breathe.
Yeah.
It's like he's already building up PTWD. Post-traumatic wreck syndrome.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's why I keep this guy.
The puns.
Yeah. And then after that, it just says, after this, everything changes. This is for a cartoon for
this
Disney.
Yeah. No. This, you know, it sold $500 million in toys for kids. You would not have noticed that by watching that clip.
Mm-mm,
like, no. Pixar... We've had a Pixar episode before,
yeah,
and we go into detail on how they start evolving from just being just your niche kid movie that only kids can like to stuff that involves everybody to understand to where it gets to the point where eventually you're going to have that awkward car ride home when your kids are asking, hey, what happened? Why does this happen? You have to adult them very quick.
Exhibit A, Toy Story 3.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we're getting Toy Story
3 first 5 minutes of Up.
Oh.
Eva and Wally, her depressing moment where she starts blowing shit up just for the fuck of it, and the artistic view of all the ships like dominoing until the last one blow. Oh, da, 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 da. I've learned my lesson. I'm fucking ready. Yeah.
Hey man, you got any more of the razor blades?
You got any more of that Pixar?
So I mean, that's pretty much it because there's not a whole lot to go off of other than that little 15-30 second trailer. Yeah. It's really a teaser. But man, it's got you.
If they keep it, as I'm a huge stickler for casting. They did like these Mater shorts in between the first and second movie, and even after the second, where some of them weren't even Larry the Cable Guy, and none of them were
the famous people.
Owen Wilson,
right,
as Lightning McQueen. If they stick to the original cast for this movie, you already got me.
Yeah.
And if the depressing moment of the wreck hasn't already got me, because you think in the story, in the car story, all right, rookie up and comer wants to be the man, and instead he helps the man cross the finish line.
Right.
In the second movie, which probably none of y'all bothered to watch, is he wants to be the man worldwide, and then so this third movie has to be the man's now getting passed up by the next generation, the younger crop, the hybrids.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But a trailer, I don't know what it's.
But it still leaves a lot to the imagination as far as, like, where is this going?
So yeah, because you got to think, in the world of cars, cars are people. They personify a car, you know. It's, and so when you see Lightning McQueen, like, flipping, basically dying, it's like a person dying. Like, the hero.
Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a human, like, your hero of the film is dying. Is getting killed, pretty much, in the trailer. So, if any kids are watching it, they just got fucked up.
Yeah, that's an awkward car ride.
Yeah. All right, so that's enough of that. We'll put a pin on that. Wait for, you know, some more trailers and stuff to come out for that.
As bad as the second one was, has this motivated you or has raised your interest to get back into the Cars franchise with this third movie? Just on the trailer alone. Is there enough there for you to be like, I need to watch that?
For this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. They got me.
They got you?
They got me, bitch. Yeah. All right, so, we're looking forward to that. Also, this past week, highly anticipated, well, for us, the release of Hardwired for Metallica.
Woo! We're actually talking about that on this show?
Holy. Pop culture, man. Pop culture.
Wow. Yeah.
And the floor is yours, my friend.
This shit-eating grin right here I had for a week. Because apparently, a couple of Walmarts in the country, got mislabeled placards that said the release date was supposed to be November the 12th instead of November the 18th. Mm. So some of the copies sold early and that's how they leaked. So no shame in saying it. Saturday night, I got it. And I've been rocking out to it all week. And then midnight release at Cactus Music here in the area and I got a hard copy of the deluxe version. Mm-hmm. Dude, the vinyl's already sold out. The super deluxe vinyl set sold out. A lot of the stores like Best Buy, Walmart, and even independent record stores have already got the deluxe 3D version, 3 CD set version already sold out.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can find is the cheapo stuff.
I saw a picture of the vinyl. That looks sick.
The vinyl is freaking nice.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you haven't heard all the songs yet.
I listened to the second disc because someone told me I should check out the second disc first before the first one. And I like what I'm listening to so far.
Yeah. There's a different order on the tracks, on the vinyl version, as opposed to the CD version, and it kind of balances the CDs out. Regardless, though, even then, like through the internet community, the people were saying that the first one's like all the substance and the second one's kind of the same. So I've just been hearing the whole thing on random.
Yeah.
Until just a couple of days ago, and from start to finish, it's good. It's really good.
The second disc, I put it in and I listened to the whole thing. Nothing's bad about it. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that it's like, man, what is this crap? I gotta skip. No, I listened to the whole thing flat out. Man, I've been enjoying it so far. I just haven't had a chance to go back and listen to the first one or the third disc either. The bonus.
The bonus disc basically has covers, three covers. They did a final version of a song that they wrote a couple of years ago for their By Request tour. And they have a live show from Rasputin Records in California where they played nothing but songs from Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so if you're a Metallica fan, you probably already have the CD already. But if you haven't, or if you used to like Metallica and you just got out of them for whatever reason,
there's a little bit of everything on there. If you're a fan of the Black Album, you're going to like the production of this. If you like Load and Reload.
What was one of the first things I said when I listened to it? When you're listening to the music videos, I said it's got an old school vibe to like the old school Metallica vibe. Yeah. So if you're a fan of the old Metallica, this is going to be good. You should check it out. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I'm surprised we mentioned that. I haven't seen the lead. I haven't seen the running card for tonight's episode.
It made the list.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Threw you a bone there. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I want to go back to from our last episode, which was 2 weeks ago, we were so excited.
Oh, you're going to do this.
We were so excited because What would we say we're going
to
do?
You know about drug addiction, don't you? You have to have the high just so you can survive the low. Motherfucker.
I got a problem. My problem is Nintendo's a bitch.
Man, there's no excuse. I was off that Friday because it was Veterans Day, I severely underestimated.
Everybody.
I camped out for the Wii U again.
Now, did you get both of those?
Yes, because I camped out overnight for both of them.
Yeah.
I camped out for about 6 hours for the Wii U.
I wouldn't do that. More power to you.
A lot of people had the NES already. This isn't new.
Right.
This is a re-release kind of a special edition. I was not expecting the fervor it got. I got to the Best Buy like an hour and a half before the doors opened. The line was already full. All of the cards, they give out like little cards that say number 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 24, and after this, you're not getting shit. And
just go home.
Go home. And yeah. It's been 2 weeks.
We have no Nintendo NES Classic.
Nothing. Empty-handed.
And we've been trying. I've been trying.
Yeah.
They're, you know, Amazon, they had the thing where at 4 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever, we're going to have a...
Walmart had it 3 days in a row.
No, it was the whole week. I found out about it. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 o'clock Central Time, every day, I was right on there, and every single time, I got shot out. Because that happened, the same thing happened on the Amazon, where right at the time, the system damn near crashes, the website damn near crashes, I finally could refresh enough times to where I could finally, where it says add to cart, I click on it and glitches out and say there's an error and you can't do it. It's just, it's impossible.
I tried 6 times online.
Yeah.
6 different days, 6 different moments. I tried for at least 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to put things in perspective. After 15 minutes, I was able to get a pair of tickets to see Metallica next month in California. And there were only 3,000 available. And I was able to snag 2 in one try on one day.
Perspective.
6 different days I tried to buy this fucking Nintendo. And the website just goes...
And let's go back
explain to... your situation, because you got a lot closer to the Grail than I did.
Well,
or so you thought.
Well, that's what I thought. That's what I was saying. It glitched out on me on both Amazon and Walmart. But you didn't... We're glossing over the fact that on that Friday, the opening day, or the release day, whatever, you weren't just that long. You went all over.
5 different places that morning. 5! Because I was off that day. It's nothing.
Under
zip,
we totally
zilch, nada, the square root of jack.
And that's, you see the results. We ain't happy. It's disappointing. And it's Nintendo, that's why I said Nintendo's being a little bitch about this. How can you underestimate it? They told us about this back in July, and the internet blew up whenever that news came out.
You know what it is? It's the fucking holiday. I promise you, if this happened in March, nobody would have given a shit.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
But it's October, and Christmas is 2 months away.
Well, now
and you don't want to be that asshole empty-handed.
It's like 30 days away.
Now it's 30 days away. It's been some time. You don't want to be that guy. Guess what?
You're going to be that guy. Yeah. But it's just one of those things.
Thank you for ruining my day, bitch.
It's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
Frustrating is not the F word I would use.
Touche, my friend. All right, but I think we made a point across. It's typical. It's Nintendo. They've done this before with like Wii, and they tried it with Wii U.
Yeah,
Amigos. I think that was another thing they tried it with, where they create
they create
their own supply and demand. They purposely short out shipments to create all this demand. For the worst part about this is the scalpers that are going out. And they're buying them all up.
$600 on eBay.
If you're lucky.
The people that are buying it at that price...
Well, shame on them.
Fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because you're making it even easier for everyone else to scout. You made it so easy. Mm-hmm. I was telling my friends over here that if I lucked out... That if I lucked out and bought one of these, I would have sold that shit if somebody said, hey, you know what? I got 5 bills. You want it? Duh. That pays for the flight and the hotel.
Because look... Because look. The system, it's $60... It's the oldest fucking... It's like 30-year-old games. We've all played them. You can get them on emulators online for free if you want. It's not the games...
Even on your phone, if you can hack it, if you can jailbreak it.
It's ways of getting these games. So it's not the games. It's the
nostalgia.
It's nostalgia. It's the design. Box, everything.
The button. Yeah. The remote. The clarity.
The 2.5-foot cord. But that's another story. Yeah. So
size doesn't always matter, Travis. You should know. You've been told that a lot.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Well, on that note, I'm just gonna scratch that.
That's a hell of a transition. Thank you for bringing me down. I had to bring you to my level.
Speaking of Deadpool.
Hey! Hey, wait a minute.
Deadpool 2. There's been some developing news about this movie, which
Find a director?
I think, well, we all agree that the first movie was great, right?
Great is an understatement.
There you go. But the director, Tim Miller, apparently there was a falling out with Ryan Reynolds, who, as the star of the movie, he's got creative control over everything.
God bless him!
Yeah, so creative differences, Tim Miller's out. Is that a good thing or bad thing? They did find a new director for this one, which has got me kind of excited. A lot of people may not know him, but it's David Leitch. He's actually the guy that directed John Wick.
I heard so many good things about John. Show you've been telling me.
I have John Wick. It's just like 2 feet away from me. You can't have it. So, but no, it's. I love that movie, and if he's he's like a co-director of that movie.
Yeah,
there's two directors. So he's going off. He's going to do this one. The other co-director for John Wick 2, he's going to be the solo director for John Wick 2.
Oh, okay.
So he's still going to have that one, and he's going to have this one. Tim Miller left this movie, and he's going to go do Sonic the Hedgehog. The fuck? You want to... That must be some serious creative differences if you want to leave this goldmine to go direct Sonic the Hedgehog. Because I know I like Sonic the Hedgehog, but a live-action movie of Sonic the Hedgehog? Really?
I'm...
No.
No. It took 10 years for Ryan Reynolds to make this baby.
Yeah.
I'm giving him complete benefit of the doubt until see a fuck-up.
Yeah.
And so far, between the first movie, there is no fuck-ups.
Right.
So, yeah. Let it go.
Yeah.
I'm with him.
A couple more things. There was, a highly anticipated trailer that dropped about a week ago. Ghost in the Shell. Did you see that trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer. Okay. I'm reserving judgment for it because there's already a lot of anime based off of that. Mm. And
have you seen the movie, the original movie?
And I haven't of it. So I want to have the clearest judgment and I don't want to go into it. But
so you would go blind and just watch this.
The fact that there is a groundswell is why it has my optimism that I'll give it a shot. And if I like it, I'll try to go back and dig into some anime version of it.
I was hesitant about it. I've seen Ghost in the Shell years ago when it came out, and I think I have it somewhere in this household somewhere. I don't know. But it was a groundbreaking anime movie back in the mid to late 90s. But the animation was so beautiful. Neatly done and everything. From what I saw in the trailer for this one, they pulled a lot of imagery from that movie and they made it onto the live action.
Really?
So it's
they got it's the got, imagery. It's got your it's getting your seal of approval
it's
so
got,
far.
Well, it's got my curiosity.
Okay.
And sometimes that's all it takes. But I'll check it out and see where we're at. I don't know, a lot of people were bitching about Scarlett Johansson.
Oh jeez, there's not an Asian lead. I'm still gonna go watch it.
Yeah, right.
People are still gonna watch it. Yeah. ScarJo.
Right. Okay, last thing before we get into Walking Dead. Real quick, it came out that finally we're going to find out when we'll be able to see a trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh.
Which is going to be for Rogue One.
Ooh! That's a 1-2 combo right there. Right? Actually, that's a 1-2-3 combo right there because I just found out either it was today or yesterday, there's another trailer that's coming out during Rogue One.
Oh.
Transformers The Last Knight.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Michael Bay came on and he posted a video saying that it's going to be...
Spider-Man Homecoming, though. I'm curious to see what the first Sony Marvel co-branded project will look like.
Because honestly, this is the first time that I'm not confident about the supporting cast in this movie.
You don't like Zendaya?
Who? I'm not saying I don't like him. It's like I'm not confident because I don't know. I'm not familiar with pretty much all the supporting cast.
How about Michael Keaton as the Vulture?
You got me on that one. Okay. Yes. Anything with Michael Keaton in it, I'm going to watch it.
I know I'm 3 years late, but I bought Birdman on iTunes. I'm waiting for it to come in the mail so I can download the digital and watch it.
Very good. All right, yeah, but that's a good movie too. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it for the news.
All right.
So you want to get into it? Walking Dead?
Sure.
It is one of the reasons of the show.
Right off the top.
Okay, we're going back.
You're advertising a 90-minute show, and yes, there were so many commercials. Oh.
I was about to say, before we get into that, let's go to commercial break.
Snap into a Slim Jim. I don't know. Bootios! I don't know. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
There was so much commercials in there.
Let's do a scene commercial. Scene commercial. Oh, come on. That's where they get you with these 90-minute episodes. Mm-hmm. You got to pay the bills somehow. You got to pay the gimmicks that come in the mail. The
ducats.
Yeah.
They call bills.
All right. So this is the episode where we go back to Alexandria. To see what's going on. But before, yeah, someone's a little early to the party. Negan, actually, the little entrance of Negan behind the
netting.
And whistling.
The silhouette of the bat in Negan's like, aren't you going to let me in?
Yeah. Just like that. He did it just like that. Yeah, it was verbatim. Yeah, it was pretty good. So what do you think of the whole intro of, first of all, because Rosita and Spencer, they're about to go out.
That's the guy's name? I keep calling him Tom Brady.
Might as well be. Sure. Call him
that.
Yeah. They're about to go out. Eugene won't open the gate because he's got to build a radio and he doesn't want to open the gate for him.
Yeah.
But that was enough of a stall to get Negan to interrupt all that. So Negan comes in. He gets all his the saviors to start rounding up all the guns. He takes Rosita's guns.
After the first thing that threw me off was after what happened in the season premiere.
Beat me to the punch, yeah. Good.
And then the way the show ended, that lull in the middle where Rick somehow found one of his balls and tried to stand up to Negan, kind of.
Yeah. Well, that other ball got chopped off when he almost had to chop off Carl's arm.
Coral. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
What'd you think of that whole, the opening scene with Negan and Rick post apocalypse?
So in this episode, death match. In this episode where we see the first confrontation, this is the first time that Rick and Negan are face to face.
When Rick is on Rick's hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick, this is Rick's turf.
Home court. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of, I have in the back of my mind, and I still do, that Rick's up to something. Like, he's this biding his time now that he knows the players on the field.
What was the first giveaway for you?
Just because it's Rick. Like, he's always had some kind of plan or something in the back of his mind to take care of some issues. But this particular one, it's like he's not caving in too easily, but he's not doing anything proactively right now, and that's why I'm thinking he's just biding his time right now.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. What about you?
I noticed something odd at first, and I got clarification on Facebook a few days later when somebody posted this link. They showed a scene where they have the Morse code sign on the wall.
Yeah, they
showed the scene where Daryl and Rick first meet when the Negans. Sounds the racist Negans? When I say it. Yo, Negans, like it just sounds bad.
The
Saviors, there we go. Because everybody's Negan apparently.
Yeah.
What's my name, bitch? Like, yeah. So when all the Negans Daryl. Showed up, and Daryl's like blinking, like he's got something stuck up his pooper, like. Like giving Rick a message, kind of, and then you see the board later on in the supply room or the weapons room, the armory, with the Morse code thing on there. I was like, okay, I can already see that. I got it now. I see what's going on. I think that was already like a giveaway that Rick's kind of like on the like laying in the cut for now, even though that's like a shitty cut to lay in because you know
that'd be too. I see what you're saying, but I think that might be too contrived. I don't know because. they never really had a game plan. Leading up to the last season finale, where they got captured.
Well, they have 6 days, because remember, Negan showed up a day early. Hmm. 6 days from, or even then, like, they could have, they might not have known in the moment, but they still have, like, maybe contingencies?
Maybe. But again, this is why this is all conspiracy fan theories, but I just, when I saw Daryl twitch like that, I just thought, because he's been tortured for like a month.
Because like Michonne's hiding a gun in the chimney.
Right.
But that gun wasn't on the log.
Right. Right.
So, like, certain people might have certain agendas for their own, even though maybe it's all for the better good of the group. Mm-hmm. You know, because if Rick has a plan, then why would he be so worried about Michonne using the guns instead of hiding them?
Because so, what his thought was, if they found it, it would be worse.
Yeah.
If they found it. There was a scene. Okay, well, first of all, let's back up to Rick and Negan. Where one of the first things that Negan does is he hands Rick the... He said, hold this for a second. And he makes Rick hold Lucille for the duration of his visit there. Just the insult to injury, you know? It's just...
And those opportunities that Rick had, and he's like, you can hear, you can see that the voices in his head are telling him,
bash his head in.
Bitch!
Yeah.
And nothing.
And I think the worst case of that was in the armory when all Negan's men left, and it was just them two one-on-one in this one little room. Yeah, take him out. But in Rick's perspective, in Rick's point of view, he doesn't know that there might be, because he doesn't know what these other guys are going to do. In his mind, they're all
the same
loyal team. Yeah. Negan followers. He doesn't know that Dwight's buddy was defecting. Dwight might be whatever. Mm. You know, there's different. There could be different issues. You know, maybe not everybody.
He doesn't know the phrase that are going on Negan's side of the fence.
Speaking of phrase, and I just mentioned Dwight, I thought it was really weird. Knowing what we know, with the start of it, when Dwight was basically being a dick to Rosita, I don't know if he's just putting up a front because the English right there, but like, need your guns, and he's all this, and he was just, is this water? Oh, he pours out all the water. You know, if I didn't see the episode before that, I wouldn't think much of it, and it's just Dwight being a dick because he's one of the saviors. But knowing what we know, it just seemed out of character and out of place for that character.
You might have just answered your own question there.
Probably.
I think it might have just been him putting up a front to make sure that nobody else notices.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
could be. I am smart like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's another interesting tidbit there. They're hiding Maggie, pretty much.
The fake burial.
I love the fact that Negan was talking to Rick, and then Father Gabriel just like pops up out of nowhere.
Hey, everybody!
And Negan's reaction to
him. Hi, Father Gabriel!
Negan's reaction to this is like, oh shit. Like,
you're a scary motherfucker! Yeah! He's 3 seasons late. We thought of that 3 seasons ago.
That was just a good scene. Again, going back to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is adding his personality and
flavor
into this character. But yeah, the way that Father Gabriel is like, she didn't make it, and we just buried her out, and that was a nice. And Rick was like, oh, "Good job," you know, because
his pants are all dirty and shit. You can tell. Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, and that's gonna come into play later on in the next episode, I imagine. But there was that. There was a scene when they go into I think Rick's house, pretty much, and Carl shoots at the guys.
Yes.
What'd you think of that? Because I was like, oh shit, someone's about to die.
You know, for the past couple of seasons, I've gotten the idea, or I have been led to believe, again, I haven't read all the comics, so I don't know how far they're deviating, that a payoff that I would like to see, which would kind of be out of left field, is Rick and Carl not so much fighting each other, but having this something so tense between them that you can cut them like a knife, because Rick's already like, he's more passive aggressive as opposed to Carl will just nut up and just do it without thinking of repercussions in the moment and just waiting till afterward.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been the first time where they've butted heads on their opinions on how to handle things.
But this is a different situation. I mean, this is a whole another level of what they're dealing with.
But you would think if Negan respected Daryl for manning up in the worst moment to man up to a guy, you would think maybe he would give Carl that kind of respect, that Carl, the kid with one eye, is like manning up like nobody's business. Like he doesn't give a shit.
I think deep down, it may not even be deep down, I think Negan is like getting a kick out of this.
Yeah.
Like these people, like actually, because at this point, Negan might be so used to people just like bowing down to him and everything. And
it's refreshing to see, especially a kid, as opposed to just another rival.
He might be getting off on it for all we know, but it's just one of those things where, yeah, he might just be used to people just...
Yes, men.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So especially when a kid, like you're saying, like Carl, fucking almost...
future psychopath over here.
If he had two eyes, maybe he could actually... and maybe that leads into the next episode where he's sitting dark practice. but yeah, that was... I think the Carl situation, that's gonna develop even further along, and that could be a contrast to where Rick's going. You know, it could be. You know, we'll have to wait and see on that.
Did you like the ending?
Well, what scene are you talking about?
With Rosita knocking on what's his face's door with the bullet casing?
Oh, Eugene. Yeah, Eugene. Because they went out, Dwight told them to go out and find Daryl's bike.
Yeah.
So while they're out, they run into the... I didn't know this at first. I didn't catch it at first. But those walkers that Rosita took out, those are the ones that they killed. That was part of the saviors last season. That's why all that was still there. The bike was still there. They knew... Mm-hmm. She knew that there were going to be walkers around there because that's where they fought those guys. And she was looking around and she...
She tried taking some of their
guns. There was a gun, and there wasn't anything in there.
Yeah.
And Spencer was like, "Oh, I got a gun. Like, I had a couple of guns." She's like, "Oh, you knew I was trying to find guns. Why couldn't you tell me this before?"
Yeah.
Because Spencer's a dick, apparently.
Yeah, he hit a couple. Damn near cost a girl's life.
Yeah.
Because two guns. Two measly stinking guns.
And that was just, that was more Negan just playing games and exerting dominance and...
Well, the message came across because Rick gathered the group to figure out who stole the guns and told them all straight out. I'm done. I'm not in charge anymore.
Negan's in charge now. Yeah. I'm not. That could just be Rick still. He's trying to hold everything together.
Yeah.
He's trying to maintain the peace between. Because you got to think, all those other town members from Alexandria weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just their group. So all these other towns, the people in Alexandria, they don't know
what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Rick's got to be like,
hold on a minute, please.
Yeah. Yeah. okay. So one last thing about this episode. There was a bit of a revelation in this episode that something that has almost been forgotten about, really, since the last two or three seasons.
I'd say like four.
Yeah, probably. Since the prison season, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judith. Remember that other...
baby Judith.
The other baby.
Yeah, the other baby.
That we hardly ever see, like, every five or six episodes.
Yeah. So when she has a growth spurt, you know why? Because we've been missing her for five or six episodes.
There's always, when Shane was around, there's the whole, is it Rick's or Shane's, It was never really answered on the show. Lori, and didn't really say anything, and
she was just giving up the punani,
as one want to do. Mm-hmm. So there was that, and then finally, Rick, in a moment of clarity or weakness or whatever you want
to
call it,
a perspective to reel in Michonne, because Michonne was thinking about taking off.
Yeah,
and Rick's like, "We have to stick through this. We have to persevere." And then she explained, she got a lesson in betrayal and friendships and life being a bitch. and bitches have babies. And it's called Judith because it's not his. And he repeated it. Judith's not his. What did you think of that?
It took me back for a second because I was like, oh, wait. They never really answered that question. And it was a good, tying the knot and tying that ribbon and saying, okay, that's... one last thing that is you can check off is what's a mystery, what people know, what people. Because if Rick is pretty much saying it, he's like, I know it's not. I know she's not mine. Fuck, I was in a coma for 6 months or 6 weeks or whatever it was, and
it's little bits like that remind me why I like the show so much. That they can reference something from like the first couple of seasons and still make it relevant today to where. all right, it wasn't a waste of time that I invested so much into this show to get to this point, even through the lowest of lows,
yeah,
and still be a part of the show and still want to keep watching it. You know, it went through the numbers earlier on Wikipedia, 17 million for the debut episode, and it dropped quickly to 11, and it stayed 11, and then it stayed 11, and it stayed 11 again. So even though you lose a third of your audience, when two-thirds of your audience is 11 fucking million, and it's still there,
yeah,
you're still doing something right.
Yeah, and this in that first episode, everybody was tuning in because they wanted to know who died.
Yeah,
it was the longtime viewers and it was the casual fans who just wanted to know who died. Mm-hmm. So that's why you had all that extra viewership on that first episode, understandably so.
Yeah,
but it looks like, you know, 11 to 12 million is going to be there, unless anything happens and it drops off even more. But still, 11 million for a cable TV show. It's not even network. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, or broadcast. Yeah. Okay, I think that was it for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads into this week's episode, the one we just watched.
Not in Alexandria.
Well, some of it was. It started off in Alexandria.
Yeah.
Carl.
You little bastard.
I was aiming for the screen. I was aiming for the camera there.
I went out on a date a couple of months ago, and Carl reminded me how fucking bad I am at darts. Like, I didn't know what bully meant. I barely hit like the board once or twice, and the chick I was with, and she already had 3 beers in her. She's damn near pounded already. She kicked my ass, and then she let me pound it. But still, the point, I suck at darts. Still not as bad as Carl, though. At least he's missing an eye.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's got one eye.
I don't have an excuse. Yeah. I just suck. But yeah.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Yeah.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Chris sucks. All right. all right, so Rick... they have a big old talk. Rick heads out to go find stuff, right? Because they got 6 days or whatever the case may be to find stuff. And then he asks Michonne, why aren't you going with me? And she's like, oh, I'll stick around here, whatever. And then she packs up. She takes off. And you called it before it happened, too.
Yeah, so Rick's like going to kiss her on the cheek goodbye. And Michonne grabs her and gives her a face full of... And in the moment, I'm like, she's leaving him. As soon as he walks out the door, I'm trying to get a refill of my drink. And Travis's like... You called it, bitch! I was like, what? She's leaving. And she left.
Yeah. And then after that, Edith leaves. She walks out. She did thank Carl for... No, he apologized for locking her in the closet. And she's like, well, thanks, because...
I didn't need to see that shit. That's what she said. Yeah, like, yeah, I didn't need to see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, she heads out to go to Hilltop, because I think she wanted to go see Maggie. Because they know that that's where they buried Glenn, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's going to go out. She's going to hot foot it all the way to the Hilltop. And Carl's like, you can't go. It's too far to walk. No, and she's like, no, I got to do this. So he lets her. And then, first scene after that, she's riding a bike, whatever, and she stops at a gas station. I don't know what she's doing. Zombies come out. Walkers come out, whatever. And then Dukes of Hazzard over here. This
Cotton Eye Joe.
Smashes up the zombies, smashes up everything else in his path.
I felt like going for a drive. That's his first fucking drive, I bet.
Yeah, a lot of firsts for Carl this episode.
Yeah. Way, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they're like, okay, well, I'm out here. Let's go to Hilltop together.
Yeah.
That smooth talking son of a bitch.
All right. That's how you get in there.
Right?
Yeah.
So it kind of goes back and forth from their story and in Hilltop story. But going back to Hilltop now, starts off, we find out Maggie's okay,
mm-hmm.
baby's okay,
mm-hmm.
As long as she takes it easy, stays there, doesn't do a lot of activity.
Don't get up.
What's the first thing she does?
She gets up. I'm an independent woman. I do what I want. Bitch.
See, I didn't even say it because I knew you were going to say it. All
right. I did not realize Mr. Roper's a dick in this episode. Good Lord.
Well, Gregory, he's always been like that, but now he's just pissed because Rick, or Rich, as he called him, didn't
come through in his word.
Yeah, and
now they're going to wipe out all the Negans.
Yeah, now he's pissed that they're going to come and find out that he colluded with them or whatever it would be. And so Gregory's just looking out for himself. So he wants, what do you call her? And he didn't get Maggie's name right, so he... Her and
Deer or Margaret or
yeah
something.
He was talking to Jesus and she's like, Jeez was saying Sasha too, and she's like, "Who's Sasha? Who's Sasha?" Like, this guy's oblivious today. Which, you know what? I found myself cracking up at all these misnames. He didn't know nobody's name for shit.
I bet you do that all the time, huh?
Tell me about it, Abel. All right, so yeah, Gregor's pissed. Rick didn't get the job done. He's pissed, and Maggie and Sasha there, he wants them out because he doesn't want Saviors coming back because he says they're due back anytime now. And they find out that you're here.
It's over.
Yeah, so.
Not knowing that in Alexandria, they dug a grave for Maggie that she's already supposed to be dead. So he has no idea that he's fucking right. If they find her, they all gonna die.
Yeah.
Three's company.
Nice reference. All right, so. Well, before all that, nighttime before that, they get woken up by music, loud music. They look outside, there's fire everywhere. The gates open up, walkers are coming through.
An AMC Pacer from hell.
It's all, yeah. It's all locked. I didn't notice at first. I had to go back and figure it out, but the music was coming from the car, and the car was all locked up with a big FU on it, literally, saying you can't get into it. So,
one of those Negans are good at shop.
Well, yeah. Not only that, but don't fuck with the Jesus.
Ooh.
Do not fuck with the Jesus. He was like, what'd you say, Anthony Pettis?
Oh, yeah. Jesus fucking welterweight champ over there in the fucking hilltop.
He basically took them all out. But I'm, where's that been at?
Shit.
Probably could have used you, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway. So they took him out. Oh, no, Maggie saved the day because she's not staying in bed. She's not keeping it cool. No, she drives a big fucking tractor out.
Backwards.
Over some walkers, over the Pacer.
Oh, poor Pacer.
But I didn't know that's where the music was coming from, so it made sense. That's why she had to crush the car.
Yeah.
So, but it turns out, find out the next day when the Saviors come, Simon, Negan's number two guy, he's a
right hand man.
Yeah, really. He's taking point on this one. And for all intents and purposes, he's Negan. He's your Negan.
He's the Negan, yeah. Not a Negan.
Because that's what Negan was.
All Negans matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he basically told Gregor that they were the ones that put them all out. And they were going to prove a point about how much they need him by coming in and taking care of all the walkers. But, you know, you guys kind of took care of that yourself. Mm. What did you think when he said that? Did you think that the jig was up?
Yeah. I was like, oh, shit.
They know. Because Negan, you know, you think that...
He knows everything.
Yeah, so...
Which goes back to my other point. If Negan was so... If Negan's group, the Saviors, were so good at tracking Rick every step of the way, how the hell did this little rugrat and the one-eyed boy get to Hilltop without getting caught?
Yeah. Well, they were all at Hilltop, apparently. That was a big group of Saviors.
Yeah.
In Hilltop. Getting a little claustrophobic in there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, okay. So, they went in... They want to discuss things with Gregory. Before that, he says, hide them before they find you and all shit hits the fan. More or less. So he goes in, talks to us. You know, well, Simon talks to Gregory. And first of all, Xander Berkeley, I've always been a fan of his as an actor. Because I knew him from 24, way back when. But he's done a lot of different bits here and there.
Cameoed in some video games, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Borderlands, maybe?
Maybe. I know he's done some video game work. But anyway, he's a good actor, I think. I always get a kick out of him. But man, his facial expressions, like you could see like the gears turning in his head, like what am I going to say to this guy? You know, like...
Of course I'm this angry. I'm bald!
Yeah. Like, the expression is saying, I'm fucked, but I got to do something about this. I gotta talk myself out of this shit.
Yeah.
But you know, he's not all there. Like, he's an idiot, pretty much. He's a drunkard idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, they finally made a deal. Like, okay, well, you know, we're just going to come take half your shit and we're going to be gone. Is there anything
else? But just half.
Yeah. Is there anything else I need to know? And that's when the big pause came and gave him a look. And the next scene, they're walking out and Jesus is looking like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you taking him over there? Big dramatic pause. He's going to go to the door where we saw him before. He said, go put him in the closet. And they're going to a closet. And he's opening the door, and Jesus is like, no, don't do that. And he opens the door, and what do we see?
Scotch! Scotchy, scotch, scotch!
And what is Simon say?
I'm more of a gin kind of guy. Yeah! Another pussy. It's whiskey all the way, bitch! Gin.
Yeah.
Shut up, Silver
One. I got nothing on that. I got nothing. But that was a good, even in that moment of like Gregory knowing, oh fuck, they got my scotch, my beautiful scotch, you know, he's handing over, hey, this is, and Simon's like, well, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to tell him it's from you. I'm going to take the headline on this one.
Yeah.
And then I love this line. And he says, oh, you want to go and put that back in the case for me? And he just kind of looks at him like a lost puppy. He says, oh, I'm sorry. Put that back in the box.
Period.
Yeah, period. That was a nice like scene out there.
Oh, shit.
But then it comes to find out after they all leave, after he makes him kneel, they all leave. And Gregory storms into his bedroom and tells Jesus, because that's when they find out where he hit him. He was going to sell him out. He was going to give him Maggie and Sasha. That dick. But what do you expect?
So it's obvious he's not fit to lead.
Yeah.
Jesus is cornered by Maggie at some point in the episode. Sasha's like, yeah, what are you doing here? Yeah. Like, what's your game plan here? You going to just follow? Because he makes a lot more competent leader than Roper.
And in his own defense, like, he's like, I'm not a leader. You know, he's a soldier. You know, you can tell he's a follower. You know, he's a martyr.
He's not the first Jesus to take one for the team. I'll tell you that.
Joe's Witness over here? I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, it's basically a pep talk for Jesus to kind of take charge, and he stands up to Gregory and Maggie with the right hook.
Woo.
Left or right? Anyway, she punched him in the face because, again, Gregory being the dick, he took the stopwatch that they put next
pocket
to the
watch.
Grave. Yeah, I'm sorry, the pocket watch that she put down next to Glenn's grave. He took the fucking watch, dude. That deserved a punch in the face. I'm sorry. I couldn't let it sit out in the sun. It's going to get damaged. In the rain. Yeah. So she punched
him. I think he was handpicked by them because they knew that they shouldn't have somebody that's competent leading, because the competent leaders are going to be really quick to realize that they don't need Negan around.
Yeah.
So they got a sucker, an idiot, a moron, a Trump to be their leader. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
He said bitch, by the way.
Yeah. Fucking complaining about Hamilton. What a dick.
We're not going on there. Okay. So,
the guy that's in charge of nuclear codes wants to pick a fight with a theater. A theater. And Saturday Night Live. You're welcome, America. Go fuck yourself. Back on The Walking Dead.
You gonna go protest?
We're all Walking Dead now, shit.
It's one at a time.
That's the nuke right there. Is the fucking one. He's gonna be in the office soon.
All right, so they're getting all their shit, and so we catch up with Edith and Carl. They're on the outskirts of Hilltop, looking in, and they see them loading up all the trucks and everything. And
baby, don't go.
I gotta go.
But you won't be doing it for anyone but yourself.
You're right, bitch.
But I need you.
Yeah.
There's your reaction, your reenactment in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But then Carl, following from his daddy, he kisses Enid on the forehead.
Leaning in, man.
And then
bam, right there.
Pow, right in the kisser.
You got it.
Yeah. My boy, one-eyed Joe.
That's for you, America.
Yeah.
One-eyed Joe. All right, so
chivalry is not dead, just everyone around them.
He's hanging by a lifeline right now. Yeah. All right, so basically he agrees not to whatever, so she's gonna go to Hilltop, and she's like, they're gonna find you. No, they won't.
The balloons are not a dead giveaway.
Yeah, right.
The roller skates over my shoulder are not a dead giveaway.
They'll never suspect it coming down from balloons.
Fucking the resurrection of Mary Poppins over
right?
here.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's the end of that scene. We think that's the end of the whole storyline with that. Yeah. So, cut back to you know, the pep talk with Sasha and Jesus, and she's like, you know what? You know where Negan stays? It's like, he drives a black truck.
One of them are going over there.
Yeah. Can you find him? I think so.
Sure. I can do that.
But between you and me, Between you and me, don't tell Maggie. Oh, I don't like that. Well, too bad. Keep it from her. So, how does the show end?
So,
the trucks are leaving.
Ninja Jesus jumps into the back of the truck.
He's all full of tricks in this episode.
Man, where the fuck was he in season two?
Anyway, or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
If they went to the CDC in the first season, we should have got Jesus from jump.
Dude, I'm gonna say, yeah, ultimate team up. Jesus and Shane.
Oh, fuck Rick. Okay, so he's spilling out some of the scotch, so he's leaving a trail behind so that people can pick up on the scent, because, you know, scotch, pungent.
Oh, is that what he's
goes
doing?
Goes down smooth.
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. You noticed he was emptying.
I thought he was being, because he could. Like, eh, fuck it, you know, important.
He's leaving a trail. Yeah, like E.T. In Futurama with the little pieces.
Or E.T.,
yeah. In Futurama, there were really alien shits, but still, nobody knew the difference. So he's in there spilling out the beans, and then he turns around, and he's not the only one in the truck.
One Eye Carl.
Oh, got you that Joe, bitch! Yes! And Jesus, and it's weird, because I don't know if you noticed all, like, he had like 8 or 9 different reactions to Carl being there. Like, he had a facial orgasm, just like,
rightfully so. Rightfully so.
And then it ended with,
yeah,
people's eyebrow.
And that's it.
And that's it.
But yeah, because when you're a ninja and you get caught, it's surprising, right? Much less by a one-eyed kid in a cowboy hat.
Can't throw a dart to save his life, can't drive for a shit, but he'll get you. He's gonna get you. Yeah, and that's the cliffhanger for that episode.
Yep.
Man, am I ready for the next episode?
It was hard getting to that last scene in that episode, but yeah, it was a marathon mode on this one.
Yeah.
Unlike the 90-minute episode before that. But, man, yeah, I'm still looking forward to seeing where they're going. I in the back of my mind, I hope where they're going with everything is, you know, Jesus, Ezekiel, even Rick to an extent. Like, everybody's going to start, even Daryl, like, they're all going to start forming
their alliances.
Yeah.
The alliance.
Something's got to happen with this. There's seeds that are being planted. And
the only drawback is, since now these networks are starting to make Fetch happen, as in mid-season finales, I don't want them to give anything away. Yeah. Like, the end game is not December. The end game is, after all 16 episodes, you make one nice season, not like two mini seasons, and then put them together.
Mid-season finale.
Yeah.
What? Mid-season finale?
Yeah.
The fuck out of here with that.
Yeah.
This is an episode before a long fucking break.
Yeah. But that's it, man. 5 episodes in. How you feeling now?
Liking it.
Yeah?
So far, this has been better than, I think, the last couple seasons for me. For Walking Dead.
5 episodes in, it's a better pace than the last one.
Yeah, this one was the first one that this last episode was the first one of kind of a lull getting to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's the first 4 episodes were bam, bam, bam.
Not
bam,
everyone's going to be a home run.
Yeah, yeah, you got to have them. You know, I thought the last episode, the 90-minute episode, I thought that was going to be the first one with exaggerated lull times in them, you know. But, man, yeah, I'm still looking forward to it. Do you have any guesses about where they're going after this?
I don't want to think about it. I'm going to just let it go.
Fair enough.
Let it go.
All right. So, man, that's going to be it for this one. Thank you so much for tuning in and checking us out here on our YouTube channel. In case you don't know, youtube.com/popculturerewind. Also, I did put these episodes up on our on the iTunes feed.
Oh, yeah.
On the website, popculturerewind.com. So if you just want the MP3 of this, go to the website, download it. I'll probably have this up a few days after this one on YouTube. But if you like us, give us a thumbs up. Leave a comment in the section below. We greatly appreciate any feedback.
Follow us on the internets.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind. Yeah. And also on the Twitter machine.
On the Twitter machine. PopCulture RWND.
There you go. Yeah. That's flow to it. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And if you're on any of those, you're following us, if you have any suggestions for shows, us up. Let us know.
We learned recently that we can fit a third person here.
Yeah.
So, if it's good, and you're in the area, you bring some whiskey.
Not that Scotch shit.
Yeah. And some water for him. We'll work something out.
Yeah.
Yeah. In our top secret studios over in La Porte, 3 minutes from the La Porte Airport.
Thanks, buddy. So, I think it's gonna do it for this week's episode. We won't be around next week because Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody that celebrates. Gobble gobble.
You don't have to be religious. You can just be a fat ass. Just the same.
Black Friday's coming up.
Most racist holiday of the year.
Trump. So on that note, I think we're gonna call it a night. So as always, don't forget to pop your culture.